The Bible tells us that true love suffers long and is kind and rejoices in truth. God's kind of love is not easily provoked and does not rejoice in sin. True love endures. That kind of love is impossible without the power of the Holy Spirit living in our lives. Elizabeth Elliot has experienced great loss, but her message continues to focus on the love that triumphs in the face of evil. Welcome to Gateway to Joy.
The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking today with my daughter, Valerie Elliot Shepherd. Val, we've been discussing some of your experiences with disciplining your seven children, seven so far. Probably by the time these programs are aired, you will have eight, since you're now expecting. And I thank God for the Christian home that you and Walt have established. Your children are preacher's kids, so that adds sort of an extra element to their lives. We were talking about disciplining small children. I do want to get to some of your older children. Mm-hmm. Do you ever have any problems with your children challenging your instructions?
Yes, probably right now the one that challenges me most is Jim, who's 9 years old. And I'll give him a job to do, and he'll most often say, "Why can't Colleen do it?"
Colleen is how old?
Six. And then I'll give Colleen a job, and she'll say, "Why can't Evangeline do it?" who is four. So they want to blame the younger one, thinking that the younger one never has to do as much work as they do. And it is true that the older ones do a little bit more work than each successive younger one. But Jim is my challenge because he will whine and he'll start to sigh. Well, we've just begun a new program of particular punishments for whining, complaining, and for challenging what I say. It's not a defiant. He's not defiantly saying, "No, I won't do that," but he's asking me immediately or arguing with why should he have to do something. And
what's your answer when he says, "Why can't Colleen do it?"
I'll tell him that Colleen has another job that she's doing right now, or that he is responsible for this particular job and he does a better job of it than she does because he's older, and that he can help me more because he does a better job. And just telling him that he doesn't need to worry about Colleen. And I tell the ones who say, "Well, how come so-and-so doesn't have to do it?" I say, "But I have told you what I want you to do, and you're not to worry about what she's doing. I have given her other jobs."
A child certainly does need to accept the wisdom of the parent, doesn't he? It seems to me that is a basic lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
every day it will be challenged, mm-hmm. but there is a time, seems to me there's a time, when you just say, "I have asked you mm-hmm. to do this job, Jim."
Right, and I do that. I have to say that a lot to him.
And is there a further argument then from him?
No. We've just started a new program of different punishments for different types of offenses, and he gets a loss of privilege, or he has to pay a 50-cent fine if he whines when I give him a job that has to be done. He knows he has to do it, but if he rolls his eyes or sighs, then he's going to be put to bed earlier. He loves to stay up and read. Or if it were a Friday and we might be watching a video that night, the privilege of not watching it would be just the worst punishment in the world. So he knows that since we've started this new program, he's really been much better behaved. Before this, I was really having a hard time even thinking of the right punishments for all these different little offenses. And because I didn't really have a specific system of punishments, they were challenging me a lot more. And now that I've got it written up on the wall, all I have to do is look up there and say, "This is what's going to happen if you're going to whine." So,
I remember way back when you lived in Mississippi, you decided that we were going to have a whining chair.
Mm-hmm.
in the hall,
mm-hmm.
and whoever whined had to sit there for X number of minutes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think it was Christiana, who was about 4 years old, when you were giving these instructions, explaining how things were going to work, and she said, "And I think that if somebody whines when they're sitting on the whining chair, they should be spanked." Do you remember that?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and we probably did spank them for that, too, if they continued. They weren't allowed to make noise once they sat on the whining chair, so if they continued
Could they
to
roll
make...
their eyes?
No, we usually ignored them. Once they were sitting there, we wouldn't look at them again until they were allowed to come off. So.
Okay, but now you have an 11 and a 13 and a 15-year-old, mm-hmm. so do they ever whine? Do they ever challenge your instructions?
They might sigh, but they're so used to knowing that they have to do what I've asked them to do that I don't give them a specific punishment, although I might say, Elizabeth, you know this needs to be done. It doesn't help for you to sigh. And it's just a verbal reproof or that kind of a scolding. They're pretty good about doing what I've asked them to do. And of course, it's because of many years of saying over and over again, you have to do the work around the house because I can't do it all and I need your help. And it would be a great help if you did this. And they know that they have to obey. So I haven't had too much trouble with the older three.
The Bible tells us that we are to do our work cheerfully. As unto the Lord, and I know that is a lesson that you've certainly tried to teach your children, but it's not easy for any of us to learn, is it? We still have objections, and we feel grudging about some of the work that the Lord gives us to do. Mm-hmm. These are all such basic lessons for getting along in life, and every one of them has its spiritual counterpart, doesn't it, in learning to obey God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, tell us, how does the mother of seven organize her time?
Well, I was helped by another lady named Donna Otto, I think you've had on your program. She said to put the priorities down first that only you can do, that nobody else can do. For example, my devotions, only I can do. That's a priority that I do at the beginning of the day. And then after that, put down the things that you can delegate. And with household work, of course, much of the cleaning can be done by the children. When I organize a week, well, let's say I do a day, one day, it helps me to put down a schedule of half-hour increments throughout the day from 7:30 to 6 o'clock at night. And every half hour, I put in what needs to be done during that half hour. And I don't do this every day, but lately I've been doing it more and more for each day, just starting writing down the schedule for the day. And that helps me to see how much time there really is in the day and to see that many, many things can be gotten done, of course, in less than half an hour, in 10 minutes. And it helps the children to know what's the plan for the day. They like, the older two children love to read what the schedule is. They like to know what's happening.
So do you post this?
It's usually on the kitchen counter. It's sitting there. And if I plan my meals a week or 2 weeks in advance, that's a great help for me. I will often have one or two of those meals cooked by my two daughters, and they help me write the menu list or the grocery list. They help me with cleaning up. Elizabeth always cleans up supper dishes. She's the 13-year-old. I think there have been times when I've felt like I should take a meal to somebody, to another person in the church, or I felt like I should go and visit somebody. And I really have tried to do the things for my family first, to make sure that our meal is cooked for our family before I go and do something for another family. And I've often asked my husband if he wants me to do something for someone else, and he knows how little time I have to do things outside the home. So he helps me decide. I mean, he most often says, no, you don't have time for that. He'll sometimes say, let me take the meal or let me do the call or whatever. Phone calls I often put off just because there are too many little demands right then, you know, all through the day. So, as I said, I have been writing down daily schedules, and sometimes I will, in my quiet time at the beginning of the week, I'll write down all the things that I think I'm going to have to get done that week, and then I'll try to divide it up into the days that I think they ought to be done. And of course, school has to come first. If I don't make myself start school at 9 o'clock, then I will continue doing housework till 9:30 and 10, unless
You're a homeschooler.
Yes, I'm a homeschooler, and there are days when, because the children went to bed a little bit later the night before, I'll let them sleep in a little bit later, which means breakfast is later, which means it's harder to start school at 9 o'clock. So I have to constantly be disciplining myself to get them up on time, to have breakfast on time, to make sure the chores are done in order to get school started at 9. I love to do housework, so I prefer sometimes to keep on doing housework and put off the school. But I know that school is a priority, and so I discipline myself, and I tell the children, we're going to start school at 9 o'clock today. I'm going to set the timer for the younger ones. They have to have their rooms cleaned up and their teeth brushed and their stuff ready for sitting and listening to the Bible. I allow them to do handwork or coloring. The younger ones can color while I'm reading the Bible to them, as long as they're not talking. And sometimes just getting school started at 9 o'clock, all of a sudden they're on a scramble to go find their things to do, and I have to even discipline myself to make sure that I've told them to get their stuff ready so that we'll be ready to start at 9 o'clock. So it's constantly, you know, making myself do what I know should be done. It's a struggle.
Do you really think that they can pay attention to the Bible while they're doing something with their hands or coloring?
I'm not sure about the 4-year-old, but the 6-year-old definitely does. She loves to color and she listens well. And the 8-year-old does too. The older ones really do listen, and they're doing needlework usually. And they're listening. And I have questions at the end of the Bible reading to see if they were listening. The 4-year-old, it's difficult to know how much she's really taking in, but she knows she has to be quiet during the Bible reading, and so I do it anyway.
Thank you so much. I've been talking with my daughter, Valerie Shepherd.
Anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.